Praise the Lord. Thank you, Dan. Beautiful song. 1 Peter chapter 3. We finish this morning's message. We gave you part 1 this morning, Suffering for Well-Doing. And tonight we look at part 2, Perfect Song, for the message tonight as we think about what is the most important thing. I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus. You say, boy, if I could just get away from all this trouble. Just do right and walk with the Lord. You're always better off with the Lord Jesus Christ. The world wants to pull. The world wants to tug. The devil's after you. And I'd rather have Jesus. Amen. 1 Peter 3, verse 17. We'll not read the whole passage again, but we have gone through many of the verses. The Bible says in verse 17, "For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." Suffering for well-doing. Father, I pray that you will bless the preaching tonight. I pray that you will speak to our hearts. And Lord, continue many decisions this morning. I pray that you will continue to use your word in our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes, according to the scripture, it is the will of God that you suffer. It says, it is better if the will of God be so. We don't like that. We often, again, don't even like this whole passage because it deals with suffering for well-doing. But it is often the will of God to be so. It's just the will of God that we suffer for doing right. It is the will of God that we go through some tough times, that we have some suffering. Now, everybody suffers. As we talked this morning, saved people suffer, unsaved people suffer. Suffering takes many forms, headaches, toothaches, health issues, financial issues. But everybody has some type of suffering. And lost people suffer, wicked people suffer, good people suffer. And again, there is a lot of suffering, according to the Bible, for doing wrong, but there is also suffering for doing right. This morning, I gave you 3 points. Number 1 was the problem, and that was to suffer. Number 2 is the promise. And that is to keep us from the idea, well, if I'm going to suffer, I might as well just do it wrong. No, there is a blessing, according to the scripture, that comes with suffering for well-doing. And the promise, I just want to give you the verses again. Verse 9, it talks about that ye should inherit a blessing. In other words, God has a blessing for you. It says that you are thereunto called to inherit a blessing. God said, I've called you to this problem, to this suffering, to this trial. As you do right, God says, I've called you because I have a blessing for you. I'll tell you, I wouldn't want to miss that if I were you. Wouldn't want to miss it. Verse 10, it talks about loving life. It talks about seeing good days. Who's that for? That's that guy that is suffering. That's that lady that is suffering as they do right. You say, oh, but I did all this right. I did what God told me to do. I obeyed and I did what I was supposed to do. And now I'm going, okay, God says, you know what? You are the one who's going to love life. And you're the one that's going to see the good days because you're pleasing God. You're doing what God wants you to do. And so do not miss that in verse 10. I was thinking as these teenagers were giving their testimonies. By the way, what a blessing. What a blessing to see, hear the decisions. And again, more and more decisions about, God laid on my heart to pray more. God laid on my heart to read my Bible more. And what a blessing to hear those kind of decisions from our young people. Amen. I mean, that is so good. But I was thinking about them and thinking about, how many are going to do right. I listened to Curry, and Curry, you know, he's excited about serving God. And yet I know, as a pastor, I know as he goes into working for the Lord, there's going to be some suffering. There's going to be some tough times. And the question will come at times, you know, wait a minute here. I remember standing up there and giving testimony and talking about, I love God and I want to serve God and I want to please God and I'm trying to do that. And listen to me. There's blessings. There's good things. And you love life. You love life, it says. And you see good days. It goes on in verse 14. It says, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. That's the happy people. That's the Apostle Paul and Silas singing as they're in prison in Philippi. I mean, that's the happy folks. It's folks that have something inside that others just don't understand. They just can't even imagine. It's a peace that God gives. Again, I'm not looking for it. I'm not asking for it. You're not either. But it is something that happens. It says, if the will of God be so. And often, it is the will of God. And verse 16, it says, having a good conscience. You know, again, as I preached this morning, how many people can't even sleep at night because they have a guilty conscience? When you do right, you know, even if you're suffering, even if you're going through a tough time because you're doing right, boy, you sleep well. I mean, you have a good conscience at least. You're not having to watch over your shoulder to see who's after you. Amen. You know that you're doing what you're supposed to do. The problem, suffering, the promise, all the scripture. Chapter 4, it goes on, and we'll not read that again. Verses 13 to 16 talks about happiness, talks about rejoicing. It talks about giving you an opportunity to give God the glory. Amen. I mean, it talks about that's so the rocks don't cry out. Amen. I mean, it gives you an opportunity to praise God. It's easy to praise God when things are going good. Somebody gives you $20. Well, hallelujah. The doctor tells you, you are the perfect weight. Glory to God. I mean, you know, it's easy to praise God then. But when things are tough, I'm going to tell you what gives God the glory. It's when you say, God, you're so good. Praise God. You know, that's when it's that's where the rubber meets the road, really. The problem is suffering. The promises are to be happy, to rejoice. And then we looked at number three, the protection. And the Bible's so clear about God. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. He's watching. Amen. It says His ears are open unto their prayers. He hears you. It says the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. He's watching those that are after you. He's watching the devil as he's going after you. Every moment of Job's trial that he went through, I promise you, God was watching everything. He said, devil, you can do this, but you can't do this. Don't try it. The devil maybe tried to do something he couldn't do. God smacked him and said, you can't do it. He's watching. He's listening. He's watching those that are out to get you. And the Bible says he's, verse 13, who is he that will harm you? If ye be followers of that which is good. That's why I'm going to just keep following that which is good, because my bodyguard is there. Amen. And he's going to guard me. So we move on as we looked at 3 points this morning. Number four, we see the process. And again, it is a continual process of doing right. You just need to keep doing right. And you say, but I'm suffering. Just keep doing right. Yeah, but I'm going through a tough time. Just keep doing right. But people misunderstand me. Just keep doing right. But folks are attacking me. Just keep doing right. That's what we need to do. And in fact, the scripture is very clear about the doing right here, because in context, it deals with our relationships with others. It deals with our relationships with other people. It may be those that are causing you to suffer or are a part of your suffering. But the whole idea is dealing with people. Now, think about Job and read the story of Job. And I've read it over and over and over again. You know, his friends came to be a blessing. Job said about him, he said, miserable comforters are ye all. I mean, they did not comfort Job at all. They did not help Job. They accused Job. This was his friends. They blamed him. They accused him. They attacked him. His own wife said, hey, Job, just curse God and die. How do you deal with that? I mean, come on, don't you understand? I just lost everything. Don't you understand? I have this dreaded disease and the pus is oozing out of my body. I mean, I'm miserable. Don't you understand? Don't you understand that the graveyard now has 10 new graves of my babies? Don't you get it? I'm suffering. But we don't ever see Job saying things like that. But instead, what we see is in Job 42:10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And all of a sudden, this passage of Scripture becomes very real in a real person's life. It jumps out at me how we deal with people is, I think, the key to doing right in suffering. It's a key. Even if people are the source of your suffering for doing right, it's a process for blessing that God gives us to just keep doing right. Because we're pulled to do wrong. We're tempted to join in on sin. we're tempted, as we've been learning in Proverbs, to join in on evil that would hurt somebody because, well, they hurt me. And God says, no, no, no. He says, stay away from that. Just keep doing right. Well, yeah, but I pray at work and they're making fun of me and they're making my life miserable and they're putting up dirty pictures all over the place and they're doing all these things to me. And just keep doing right. Just love them and pray for them and do all you can to be consistent as a Christian. Don't fight with them. Don't argue with them. And just trust God. Remember God's promise, God's protection. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. And about the time the world, the flesh, the devil is going to put you under, God says, stop! Because he's watching. And it'll never go too far for you. There's always a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. And you just have to keep doing right. Just keep doing right. And so he shows us here the process right here in Scripture. And I love this passage for the fact that it just covers everything. It seems to cover everything that we need to do in this thing. First of all, he tells us in verse 8, finally, be ye all of one mind. Here, another Christian, it seems, is causing the suffering in a person's life. And that can certainly happen. And we would prevent so much trouble in our lives if we'd be like-minded. Romans 15, verse 5. Look at it. Romans 15, verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to what? According to Christ Jesus. Like-minded according to Christ. Like-minded. It doesn't mean we're going to like the same colors. Amen. It doesn't mean we're going to like the same temperature of the auditorium. Amen. Amen. It doesn't, right, Larry? It doesn't mean we're going to like, the same orders of service. It doesn't mean there's going to be many, many things we're not necessarily going to like and we don't have to. But what it does mean is that according to Christ Jesus, we're going to be like-minded. We have the same Bible. We have the same Savior. We have the same Holy Spirit. And we need to be like-minded. It would cancel so much trouble. One mind. One mind. Don't cause your brother to suffer. Also, help your brother if they are suffering. 1 Corinthians 12:26. One mind. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 26. The Bible says that whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Why is that? Because we are one. And we need to be like-minded. And it would make all the difference. Do you like to see your brother suffer? Do you like to see? Do you enjoy that? Again, one mind would say, of course not. I'm going to do all I can to prevent that. And then there's brothers and brothers and sisters and brothers and all. And we need to be one mind. And it needs to be the mind of Jesus Christ. And if we would, it would save so much trouble in this area of suffering for well-doing. It is one thing to suffer because, like Job and what he went through as far as God saying, you can do this and you can do this. It's a whole other thing for those who should have been the help to him to come in and cause him more trouble. One mind. One mind. Number two, the second thing he talks about here back in 1 Peter, he says, finally be y'all of one mind. He says, having compassion. This ties right in with that first thing. Put yourself in their place. Put yourself in their place. You know, if we would put ourselves in someone else's place, we would be very slow to misunderstand things. We would be very slow to surmise. If we put ourselves in their place, we wouldn't do that anymore. We'd be very quick to pray for people. We would be quicker to pray for somebody than we would be to get on the phone and call somebody else. Again, we're talking about suffering for well-doing. And you know, God's people suffer for well-doing day after day after day, but it should not be from each other. If again, if somebody is hurting you, have compassion. You say, what do you mean? Because, you know, be glad you're not the one doing the hurting. Put yourself in their place. You know when people are doing wrong, I don't care what kind of wrong it is, you understand they're headed for trouble. Amen. Well, bless God, serves them. No, listen to me. They're headed for trouble. When people are doing wrong, when they're in a pattern of doing wrong, there's going to be wrong coming out of it in many directions. It's going to affect all kinds of areas. And there needs to be compassion there. You know, well, they're trying, you know, these guys at work, they're are they saved? Well, no. Okay, they're going to hell then. Wow. Yeah, but they're making my life miserable. Yeah, but they're going to hell. Again, we're to have compassion. With Christians, we're to be of one mind. We're to have compassion, though, one another. Love. Look at this. Love is brethren. Love is selflessness. You know, putting your own feelings aside. Selflessness. Love is brethren. You say, boy, somebody's making my life miserable. Okay, love them. Love them. And love is to be selfless. Agape. You know, self-sacrifice. Love. It says this. It says, be pitiful. That doesn't mean you're pitiful. It means to ready to show mercy. Ready to show mercy. How's your mercy meter? Is it doing very well? Oh, I'm going to strangle that guy. No. Be merciful. You know, God showed us mercy. Isn't that amazing? See, the only person who can't appreciate that is the one who doesn't realize how bad their sin is. It's that one that doesn't realize that your sin put Jesus on the cross. You know, God's mercy. And shouldn't we be ready to show mercy to anyone and everyone? I don't care what they've done. I was telling somebody recently, I've had just about everything. And I say that. I don't want to say that because then there will be something new. But I've had a lot of different things done that were caused me to suffer. And they were pretty rough things. And been done wrong a lot of ways. But praise God for being able to be pitiful and ready, instant, to show mercy. No, I want you to grovel. You're going to grovel. Why? You know, God says just if you're doing right and you're suffering for doing right, then keep doing right. And be ready to show mercy. Colossians 3, verse 12. Look at it. Colossians 3, 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now, I know we don't like that. We would rather, you know, oh, I'm going to get even. I'm going to show them. But God says, bowels of mercies. He says, forbearing. What's forbearing? Put up with them. Forbearing one another. You know, one of the things that you're going to have to learn, folks, is not one of us are perfect. There is not a perfect person in this room. Not one. You know, Christian school teacher, you got to understand something. You don't have perfect students. You're not going to get them. Well, I was looking at my list and you know what? You look at your list and you find out that there's not a perfect person on there. And guess what? Teacher's not perfect either. And I mean, you go to work and say, well, you know, all these people I work with, they're all nuts. And maybe so. One thing you know for sure is not one of them's perfect. Not one of them. You know, I'm amazed how we don't allow for people to mess up. That does amaze me, honestly. You know, it's always, you meant to do this. How do you know that? Being pitiful is being ready to show mercy. It's just giving and giving and giving the benefit of the doubt over and over and over, and just ready to show mercy. You know, brother, I didn't mean that. You know, I believe you. I believe you. Why don't we believe him? Why is it always somebody's out to get me? I'll tell you why. Because the devil hates you. And he wants you to do wrong instead of doing right. That's always it. And if we get this idea that, you know, I'm doing right and I'm suffering, and now the brothers and the sister, the people in church, you know, or the people at work or whoever, people are just tormenting me and I'm suffering more because of that, you know, he wants you to quit. Just, listen, just have that kind of a spirit toward those people and do right. That's what Jesus did. I mean, he's hanging on the cross. Could have called angel after angel after angel to come and wipe out the army. Take him off the cross. But he said, Father, forgive them. Amen. For they know not what they do. Then he goes on and back in verse Peter, and he says, not only to be pitiful, but be courteous. What's that? Kind. Be kind one to another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. Kind. Courteous is appropriate. If you have to tell the truth. Bible tells us how to tell the truth. Speaking the truth in love. Friendly. Courteous. Amen. You know, in our Christian circles, that seems to be lacking. Courteous. Then he says this in verse 9, and this is so good. Not rendering evil for evil. We kind of read that and just pass over it because we don't like it. Somebody does me evil, I'm going to show them. Yeah, and you're going to do evil for evil. God says we're not to do that. Not rendering evil for evil. Look at Romans 12, verse 14. Good passage about this. Romans 12 and verse 14. The Bible says, bless them which persecute you. Again, we don't like that. That's what God says to do. Bless them which persecute you. What's that mean? That means give them a blessing. Bless them. Pray for them. Bless and curse not. Oh, that person's making my life miserable. That person might be making you what you need to be. Bless them which persecute you. Verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And that means not rendering evil for evil. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, rather give place unto wrath. Been talking about the angry man in Proverbs. He's the guy that's, you know, doesn't even stop and think about it. He'll just take the matter in his own hands, and he'll blow up like a shotgun and do as much damage. And God says for you, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. Stop. Think about what you're going to say. Speak the truth in love and deal with whatever you have to deal with and move on. Let God take care of this. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You say, but so-and-so's my enemy. They don't like me, and they're out to ruin me, or whatever it might be. Understand, God is watching the whole situation, and he's listening. And then verse 20, the verse that we really have a hard time with. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. Feed him? Yeah, I'm going to feed him, all right. I'm going to lace it with something. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. That doesn't mean you're sending him to hell, but it means God is going to deal with him with conviction. God's going to work on him. It's going to bother that person. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Again, you're doing right. You're trying to please God. You're doing what you're supposed to do. And you are suffering for that. And a person is causing some of that stuff, or people, or a group is causing that. And God says, not evil for evil. It's just like Tim said, you know, Jesus says we're to love our enemies. You want to prove that the Muslims are wrong and we're right. Don't stoop to their means. You say, well, I'm not going to kill anybody. But you can kill them with words. You can hurt them with your attitude. Look at Proverbs 20, verse 22. Proverbs 20, 22. Say not thou, I will recompense evil. Notice what it says. But wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. You know, folks that want to take matters in their own hands need to understand, God says, wait on me. I've got it all under control. Everything's under control. Back to 1 Peter 3. Not evil for evil, but notice this. Or railing for railing. It's not talking about the banister of your stairs or anything like that. It's talking about if somebody says something bad, you don't say something bad back. Somebody wants to argue, you don't have to argue back. You know, name-calling, accusing, stuff like that. I mean, honestly, it doesn't do any good. God says, just ignore it. They're teasing me at school. Okay, just ignore it. Just go on. You know, well, they said something bad about me. I've got something on them, and I'm going to tell. But you're doing what they're doing. It ain't going to work. It's not going to accomplish good. It's not the will of God. It is the will of God that you go through that for whatever reason. Sometimes, I've had glasses since I was 5 years old, and my parents found out they put me on a bicycle, and I couldn't ride it. I kept running into trees, and they thought, he's a real klutz. And I just couldn't ride a bike. It was terrible. And finally, they thought, you know, maybe we better have his eyes checked. And so 5 years old, I had Coke bottle glasses. You know, and I mean, four eyes. That I'll never forget the first time somebody called me four eyes. I first grade. You know what I mean? Hey, look at four eyes. And I thought, I only have two eyes. I had no idea what they're talking about. And then I looked in the mirror and I thought, actually, it looks like about six. You know, when you have those big, those thick glasses, I mean, it multiplies in there. But you know, I sometimes think, you know, why? Why did I, you know? But again, it kind of gets you ready for being a pastor. Not that I get called four eyes anymore, but the words have become a little more sophisticated. But the truth of the matter is, you know, it doesn't do you any good to call back. Even if you know something, even if you're right, you think. Look at 1 Peter 2:23. 1 Peter 2:23, who when he was reviled, talking about Jesus, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, and Jesus himself, Father, whatever's best. Can you say that today? Yeah, preacher, you don't understand. I haven't done anything wrong. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And don't. Don't do anything wrong. Just keep going for the Lord. Again, we're talking about suffering for well-doing. Not railing for railing. Back to 1 Peter 3, it goes on. And I like this. In this verse, it says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing. In other words, praying for those who may want you to suffer and being a blessing to those who may want you to suffer, or at least it seems that way. When's the last time you did something nice for that guy at work that is causing you so much trouble? You say, I just snarl when he comes. Well, that's really showing the love of Jesus. I know it's tough. But God says contrary, in other words, the opposite of railing. The opposite of, well, your mother wears army boots. You know, the opposite of that is being a blessing. Is, hey, you know what? I'm praying for you. I heard that you had a health problem. Or I'm praying for you. I heard that you had a car wreck. I'm praying for your family. I heard that your wife went to the hospital. And they look at you like, huh? But that's what God says we're supposed to do. By the way, they may look at you and say, blank. But you're still doing right. You may get called all kinds of names, but you're still doing right. Isn't that what soul winning is? You know, you don't know. You knock on a door, you don't know what those people are going to say when they come to the door. I know what some of them have said after you've left, because they called me. Be a blessing. Be a blessing. The Bible goes on, and it says then in verse 10, "For he that will love life and see good days." Again, this is okay. You know, Christian, you're where the rubber meets the road here. You are suffering for well doing. Now you want to love life, and you want to see good days. Okay, here's what he says: "Let him refrain his tongue from evil. Watch what you say, and his lips that they speak no guile. Watch what you say." The Bible says in James 3, verse 8, the tongue can no man tame. You say, wow, we're in trouble. No, you're not. Not if you give it to God. Amen. And by the way, that's what you have to do. Because let's be honest, we have the potential of saying all kinds of things, terrible things, and the tongue has to be tamed. And only God can do it. "And his lips that they speak no guile." Guile is lies, deceit. And again, you know, well, so-and-so said this about me, and therefore, you know, I'm going to, and well, I need to get people on my side. And again, understand this. You have God on your side if you're doing right. That's the best place to be. You have God on, if you're following righteousness, you have God as your bodyguard. You don't need anybody else. You don't have to say anything. You certainly don't have to lie. You certainly don't have to be deceitful. Huh? Just do right. Because God's already on your side. We are more than conquerors. Amen. Watch what you say. Be careful what you say. Again, you're going through a tough time. You're suffering. You say, but I've been doing right. I'm not doing wrong. I know what's going on here. My heart is right. And all of it. Okay, just be, because the devil is always going to try to get you to say something so that you move from the doing right category into the doing wrong category. And you understand how easy it is to get into that different category. It really is. And I like what it says next. And again, we're talking about here loving life and seeing good days. It says, not only to refrain your tongue from evil and your lips, they speak no guile. Verse 11, let him eschew evil. And that doesn't mean chew it up. It says, it means to avoid evil. It says in Job 1:1, it all starts out that Job feared God and eschewed evil. Means he avoided evil. I mean, you understand, as he's lost everything and all these problems are taking place in his life, and his wife says, curse God and die, and his friends come, and maybe in his heart and his mind, during that moment of silence, which was seemed like forever, you know, he might have thought, at least these guys are going to help me. At least these guys are going to encourage me. And I mean, they started in on him, and it's amazing that in the scripture we have no instance of Job attacking, fighting back. We see him defending himself to some extent. But you know, he was avoiding evil. He was avoiding evil thoughts. He was avoiding evil surmising. Huh? You know, evil surmising where you, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're doing. You know, he obviously avoided that kind of a thing. With that, I say this. Don't listen to bad about those who cause your suffering. Don't listen to bad things. If somebody comes and, yeah, I know so-and-so, they don't like you. And let me tell you something. Just say, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know it. I'm praying for them. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to know it. And it happens in the factory all the time. Yeah, I heard they're really giving you a hard time. And let me just tell you something about them. You can use this. I don't want to use it. Don't need to know it. It's none of my business. What are you doing? You're avoiding evil. You're avoiding the chance of evil getting into your heart in a way that you could hurt somebody. And so far, you've been doing right. Keep doing right. Avoid evil. By the way, don't listen. Avoid evil toward anybody. Don't listen to gossip. Because all it does is put evil in your heart. And it puts you in a position where you could do evil to somebody. Avoid evil. Then it says this. It says after we eschew evil, it says and do good. And that means just keep doing good. Just keep doing right. Just keep doing. Do good in your life. Keep doing what you've been doing. Keep doing right. Do good for those that are after you. It's okay. Again, back to Romans 12 and verse 21. And, I don't want to keep harping on this thing, but it's so important. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You say, oh, so-and-so, they hate me. Well, just keep doing good, doing good, doing good, doing good, and maybe you'll overcome that evil. I don't know how many, story after story after story of people getting saved in a factory that just picked and picked and picked and picked and picked at a Christian. And made their life miserable, but the Christian just kept doing right, kept doing right, kept doing right. And finally, the person, I give up. I give up. What must I do to be saved? Keep doing good. Keep doing right. Again, is there a God or not? Yes, there is. Keep doing right. Seek to do good to people. Do good. And then the Bible says this, let him seek peace. Let him seek peace. Always look for peace. Psalm 120, verse 7. Psalm 120, verse 7. Seek peace. You ever get around somebody that's got a chip on their shoulder and they're, you know, we've been talking about that with the angry person in the book of Proverbs. You know, it's just like, you know, they got a chip on their shoulder and they're just waiting. It's like there's a fuse, and the fuse is real short, and they're just waiting on a little spark. You know, like they just want to explode. We should always be looking for peace. Always look for peace. Psalm 120, verse 7, here's what we face. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Then stay for peace. Amen. Yeah, but so-and-so, they just want to fight. But you just want peace. You want peace more than they want to fight. And you'll win. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about sometimes we have to fight. Sometimes we have to fight for Christianity. We have to fight for the faith. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about our taking a stand. I'm talking about dealing with people. I'm talking about at work. I'm talking about in your family. I'm talking about in a marriage. You know, especially in a marriage, seek peace. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Seek peace. It's amazing. Well, we haven't been talking to each other for days. You're nuts. How can you be like that with someone the Bible says you are one with? Seek peace. Always look for peace. As much as lieth in you. Romans 12. Live peaceably with all men. As much as you can. As best you can. Live peaceably. Peaceably. Now, somebody punches you in the mouth. I mean, somewhere along the line, you got to, you know, do something like maybe get out or whatever. And it's obviously, somebody breaks in your house, you may have to defend things. But I'm just saying, you know, most of that's not the case when we're dealing with the suffering for well-doing. Seek peace. And then the Bible says here, ensue it, which means pursue it. Not only seek it, but go after it. Do everything you can to bring about peace. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Hebrews 12, 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You know, follow it. Go after peace. Go after the peaceful means. You say, well, so-and-so, that's why the Bible says, you know, if somebody is antagonizing you, going after you, whatever, causing you to suffer, talking bad, and you know they are, and then go to them. Just say, what's going on? You know, look them eye to eye. Just say, what have I done? Well, I don't like the way you're doing right. Okay, well, I'm going to keep doing right, and I'm not against you. I love you, and I'm, you know, whatever. But pursue, try to get peace, whatever it takes, if you can. If you can't, then you just, because again, you're suffering for well-doing. So keep doing well and keep doing right. And that's the process that God gives us here in 1 Peter 3. The last point is number 5, and that's the provision. And I love this. 1 Peter 3, verse 15, we use this verse often for soul winning and for defending our faith and everything. But in the context here, I want you to think about it. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And I think the key here is the provision. It's setting him apart. Sanctify. To set apart. It's setting him apart in your heart. He is the protector. He wants you to do right. And he is the one we need to focus on, and we need to set him apart in our hearts. You're not going to be successful in suffering for the Lord if you don't set him apart in your heart. If you don't put him in the right place, in giving him control of your heart and your life. Because everything I just mentioned, none of it is just something we automatically do. Everything bothers us some because we're just not like that. But he's like that. So set him apart in your heart. And he says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man. What would the answer be? The answer should be, you know, I'm just trying to please God. I'm just trying to do right. I'm just doing what I believe God told me to do. And he's my hope. And that's the most important thing in all the world. In my life. Well, don't you understand you're doing right is causing you all kinds of trouble and causing you to suffer. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because he's my God. And he's first place in my heart. He is my heart. He's everything. And I just really want to please him. And he calms and he comforts and he gives confidence and you can rejoice and you can be happy and you can praise the Lord no matter what. That's the person that loves life. That's the person that sees good days. That's the person who's happy. That's the person who's not ashamed. That's the person who, though they're going through a tough time, and they're going through a tough time because they're doing right, you'd never know it. You'd never know it. And you know what? You be that person. Just keep doing right. And if you'll follow this passage of Scripture, I guarantee, because everybody suffers. Remember that. Some people suffer and they're absolutely miserable today. Some people suffer, they're depressed. Some people suffer, they commit suicide. Some people suffer, they get out of church. Some people suffer, they get a divorce. Some people suffer, they get out of the Lord's work. I'm just telling you, listen. You suffer for well-doing. Trust him. Let him have your heart. And I promise you, you will be one to give a testimony someday. I just want to pray. Life is so good. God is so good. God takes such good care of me. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. No one's talking. No one's looking around. I just wonder, first of all, if there's anyone here tonight who's not saved. Never trusted Christ as your Savior. If you died right now, you don't know if you'd go to heaven. You'd raise your hand and say, pray for me, preacher. I do not know if I'm saved. Anyone like that? Please pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Anyone? Anyone at all? I wonder how many Christians would say, preacher, I'm saved, but God has spoken to my heart about something as a Christian today. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Just slip it up all over. God's speaking to my heart as a Christian. Father, bless the invitation. I pray for your will to be done in our lives. Help us, God, just to do right. And to keep doing right. And Lord, to set you apart in our hearts. And Lord, you'll give us the answer. You'll tell us what to say. You'll make it so clear to us. why we're suffering, why we're going through what we are. And God, you'll make it so that we can do it. And I pray that, God, some folks will get victory tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The instruments play, "Oh, to be like thee." If God's speaking to your heart today and you have a decision to make, do not hesitate. As the instruments play, you come. God's speaking to your heart tonight. You come.